This episode of the podcast is sponsored by Tiege Henley.
I remember Tiege Henley. We're number 14 with the Bruins, didn't he?
So this is the intro.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. My bad. Maybe we could use that, actually.
Fires one towards the goal. That's going to be clogged by Travis Ridgen. Well, this is more like it.
This is Slangin' the Biscuit. Here's Travis Ridgen and Dave Wheeler.
Man, you jinxed it.
Nah, stop saying that. Listen, I love this. Whenever a team goes south and things don't go in their favor, fans will look around and go, that person said something. Yeah. You jinxed it. Or it was, my hat was slightly off kilter and I was supposed to wear it this side and I forgot. Or it was the underwear that got washed. It's always something. It's never the team. It's never the fact that they played a better team. It's never the fact that they ran into a losing streak. It's like, oh, we got to blame somebody. We got to blame the supernatural. And I laugh every time. It's hilarious to me.
Like some voodoo level stuff.
Ugh. Ridiculous.
My grandma, she used to be like the biggest Winnipeg Blue Bomber fan. And when they'd be losing, she'd literally, like, she'd leave the TV on and go like sit outside. And then she'd ask people, how's the game going? And then it was going better. Then she'd come back in and watch the game. She was exactly like that, like voodoo level mentality.
Did I ever tell you the story about Mike Keane, three-time Stanley Cup winner Mike Keane?
I've heard of him.
So he was playing with the Manitoba Moose. He was captain of the Manitoba Moose. Just so happened that we bumped into each other one time during a pregame and we had lunch together at Earl's Polo Park. And so everything is fine. Everything is great. And they won that night. And so he says, hey, what are you doing for lunch on Friday? And I said, nothing. He goes, I'll meet you here. And he had the exact same thing. He ordered me the exact same thing. And we did everything again. Won again. And so we went on a 7-game winning streak. And for every time we were in town, guess who had to go for lunch with Mike Keane and have the exact same meal in the exact same spot?
You.
Every single time. I was happy to have the free lunch, happy to hang out with Mike, but some guys just get that superstitious. Like, this is what made me win that day. I'm going to do the exact same routine.
What'd you get?
They don't have it anymore. Earl's used to have this amazing Mediterranean linguine. I love this dish so much. My wife actually found out how to make it, and she can make it at home now, but one of the best dishes that Earl's has ever had on their menu, the Mediterranean linguine with olives. You can get it with shrimp. You could get it with chicken as well. It was fantastic.
What did Mike get?
Mike, I think, went with the steak sandwich, if I remember correctly.
That's a good sandwich.
Yeah.
Steak sandwich is so underrated. Get a little bit of guac on there, some caramelized onions.
I don't think he did the guac, but he was, if I remember correctly, he was a steak sandwich guy.
Caramelized onions, little caramelized mushrooms, rare. I want that steak still moving on. It's on like really crispy sourdough.
Mm-hmm.
That's a combination and a half.
How are your beans?
My beans?
Yeah.
What do you mean my beans?
The beans that you didn't get at the airport.
Oh, I had a day. You want to start the show off like this. So I flew in just literally this morning. Wheeler came to pick me up from the airport, said, hey, all right, time to go do a show. So I woke up at 4, went down to the airport, took the SkyTrain. Before I even got to the SkyTrain depot, I'm walking down the street, walking down Granville Street around 4:30, 4:45, and I hear some smash, like a very light smash. I'm looking around like, what is going on? And then I see this one dude. He's got a brick, and he hucks it right through this coffee shop window, this poor coffee shop. I don't know who owned this place. Smashed the window. I thought he was going to go rob the place. He took off. That was how my day started.
Wow. Yeah.
45.
I'm starting to see more and more that not in the usual places around Canada, but it seems to be happening more and more in the places you would least see that happen, if that makes sense.
I don't know if this is even worth like mentioning, but like I thought to myself, like instantly I thought, okay, maybe because like the police station is like right nearby, I should call and be like, hey, I think this guy's about to break in. But then I was like, well, they're going to pick him up and then take him down for paperwork, prints, whatever. Then he's going to be back doing it again by noon. So like, why risk that? And he's going to see me phone somebody. Maybe he's going to throw a brick at me. Maybe he's got a blade. I'm just going to go to the SkyTrain station and get on my flight.
By any chance, were you standing in front of the window and tried to stop it?
No.
Oh, okay.
It probably would have gone through my legs. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. So I go to the airport, and I'm excited. You know I love my Maple Leaf lounges. I love the greatest breakfast of all time, the Irish breakfast. A little bit of egg omelet, cheese omelet, a little bit of sausage. They got turkey sausages now, and baked beans. I show up. There's no baked beans. My morning was totally out of whack. I asked the lady. She's a Spanish lady. I said, excuse me, ma'am, where are the beans? She says, oh, we just changed it. We do the beans every other week now. What am I going to do?
Did you ask her in Spanish?
No.
Why not?
I got to start working on my Spanish.
You got to start working on your Spanish. ¿Por qué no tengo? I don't even know how to say beans. I should know how to say that. That's one of the most basic things you learn.
Bush beans. I think they're bush beans.
Yeah, I don't know how to say beans.
Just bush beans.
I'm going to guess. Bush beans. ¿Por qué no tengo bush beans?
Whenever I hear people speak other languages, I like when I don't know what they're saying at all, but then I hear an English word like a bush beans, a Dave Wheeler. I'm like, oh, I know those two words.
Well, yeah, actually. Well, it's funny. AI is actually becoming mainstay across most languages. When you hear people talking, the AI stands for artificial intelligence, which are like a few words that mostly tech words will work their way into the language because it's a brand new word, and whichever language creates it, it just kind of gets adopted by everybody else.
Well, you had this idea a couple episodes ago, actually maybe a couple months ago, about AI goaltending. The Jets might be able to use it right now.
Listen, we're recording this podcast before the outcome of this series happens. I may end up looking really stupid when this goes to air, but I still believe. And here's why. The Jets are streaky. As long as they can figure out, okay, three is enough, and then they go on another run, they can absolutely do it. We've seen it throughout the entire season. It's not impossible, and if any team could do it, it is the Jets. I really hope this ages well.
Two things. The entire comment section on TikTok is blaming you for jinxing the Jets right now because that clip is taken off.
Sure.
And two, well, we started with, hey, what time is it in Whitfield? 12 past Ridge, and now it's leaking over to the Jets. And all the comments are, what time is it in Winnipeg? 5 past Hellebuck, 7 past Hellebuck.
For the record, there's been a lot of empty net goals, though he shouldn't get credit for all of those.
I was looking at some of the goal highlights this morning, and it's actually outstanding how great of a job the Avalanche have done of picking him apart. Like, these are, I think a lot of them are really good goals. I mean, the puck handling mishap behind the net, maybe, hey, dude, just stay on your net. But outside of that, like, he's making big saves, and the team is just kind of hanging him out to dry. I mean, you have a guy streaking down hash marks for the one-time shot, and then he just shoots it off a stick, tipping two guys right to the side of him all alone. Need a little bit more defense here.
The Jets, and I said this before, the Jets have all the pieces of the puzzle that they need. They have guys chipping in. I mean, there's been some comments that the second line isn't kind of producing, and Sunday afternoon's game, the matinee that happened there last week, the lines got shuffled and whatnot, which I think is silly. You know, you've worked your entire year, you go with the ones that you peg up on the board when you start the playoff series, but I don't know. Listen, it could be that Colorado is just a really good hockey team. I mean, they won the Stanley Cup a couple of years ago. It's possible that the guys like Nate MacKinnon and Cale Makar are actually really good. Who'd have thunk it?
Maybe they're built for the playoffs.
Maybe.
I think, though, the Winnipeg Whiteout was hurting the Jets, and it has been since they came back. Like, I have the record right here on my laptop here. 2015, 0-2 versus the Ducks. 2018, 3-0 versus the Wild. Then 1-2 versus Nashville. 1-2 versus Vegas. 0-3 versus the Blues in 2019. 0-2 versus Vegas last year. And at the point in time of recording this episode, 1-1 versus the Avalanche. It's not a lot of success with the Winnipeg Whiteout.
Well, look at it this way. They didn't have a lot of success in the Jets 1.0 either.
Do you think there's such a thing as when the home crowd is just so energetic and excited and they're on the opposing team, they're booing them, and you feel this energy coming as the home team, that it's almost like you get too amped up and you choke on it?
No, I think what it is, I think it's also an incentive for the visiting team. They get pumped up about that. I mean, the coach of the Colorado Avalanche, after game one, even said, he goes, that was pretty electric. Like, you don't feel that in a lot of buildings, but you felt it there. And I think, perfect example, in the American League, when the Manitoba Moose were here without the Jets, there were teams that would come in from San Antonio, from all different, the Axar Ben Knights, and, you know, seeing these guys after the game, went out, I'm like, what do you think of the crowd? They're like, man, what I wouldn't give to play in front of 8,800 people every single night. I love it. Buddy of mine was playing with the Marlies, Colin Murphy. We've mentioned him on the show before. He says, I'd play here in a heartbeat. He goes, I get so pumped up. All the boys get pumped up when we go to Manitoba because we're playing in front of 8,800 people, and we know it. So I guarantee you, the visiting team gets pumped up, just as pumped up for that whiteout.
Well, it's almost kind of like the military, like the Navy SEALs. They go on the mission. We're about to ruin someone's day. They're coming in to ruin the Jets' day and the home fans' day.
If the, you know what? Okay. So I'm going to give you a bit of a, I think it was actually, I'm not going to say who it was because I can't remember exactly, and I don't want to give credit to the wrong person. But ideally, if you really wanted to do by your team right, you set it up that 90% of the fans wear white, and then behind your home goaltender, you wear black, because it's harder to track the puck for the opposing goaltender when there's nothing but black in the background. And then when they switch ends, your fans switch, take the white jersey off, put the black jersey on.
I was thinking about that, because back in the day when the original Jets were here, the white team was the home team. So now we're the dark team is the home team. So the Jets are the only dark colored thing in the entire arena. I'm curious if that plays a role in everything else blending in.
It's the same way in baseball. If you look out in center field at the end, they don't allow fans there because it's harder to for the batter to track the ball when it's coming in. If there were things in the background and things moving and whatnot, they need a idle background in order to be able to track that ball coming in over the plate.
So they have fans left field, right field, but nothing in center?
Bingo.
I did not know that.
Yep.
It's interesting.
The more you know.
Well, they also say goal equipment, when you have it whiter, it looks bigger, and blacker looks smaller.
Yeah, I also heard that it was because it matches the color of the netting behind you, too. So all you see is white, and you shoot for white, because you know the net is white, right? So that's why you wear white pads, thinking, like, in a quick decision, aim for something white.
I'm going to quote you, though. Do you think Connor Hellebuck cares about what we have to say?
No. No, I really don't. I think Connor Hellebuck is just concerned about stopping pucks. And the Sunday matinee game was the last one that we saw. He didn't get outshot as bad, but he's been getting outshot every single night. And as I said before, you can ride a horse for a while, but eventually, if you don't take that saddle off, they're going to break.
Vezina nominee. Soon to be, well, three-time nominee, could be two-time winner. I mean, along with Bobrovsky and Demko.
They always say that the playoffs don't matter. It's only about the regular season. The playoffs kind of matter.
But they don't matter in the sense of voting, which is why they do the voting before the playoffs.
Right.
Because I remember when Luongo was getting shelled against the Blackhawks in 2011 or even in the Cup Final. People were like, how is this guy going to win the Vezina? Well, they voted before the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But with Thomas in Boston, 12 past Luongo.
Okay, here's the thing about the Winnipeg Jets. Fine. I can understand why fans are PO'd. I get it. But it's nothing like what's going on in Toronto.
Oh, we were going to say that to the end. You want to do that right now?
Totally your call.
Let's do it right now.
All right.
The most cancerous locker room on the planet, I think.
Well, I'm very reluctant to use the word cancerous because I don't know. But watching what they were going through on the bench, when they start bickering at each other and you have no point of authority to grab collars and say enough is enough, and William Nylander seems to be that guy, then you don't necessarily have a cancerous problem. You have a leadership problem. And John Tavares has been around long enough that he should recognize that stuff before it even creeps up, because I'm sure he dealt with a bit of that in New York when he's with the Islanders. But between Matthews and Marner and Nylander and the amount of money that they have, that is going... Heads will roll. Heads will roll in the offseason unless they already have been ousted by the Boston Bruins. Again, we're recording a little bit early based on some life things that are going on, so apologies for not being 100% up to date on everything, but heads will roll if they don't make it out of the series.
I think the fact that they're bickering on the bench when they know the cameras are on there, they're going to capture them, and they just have to wait till they get to the locker room and then let each other have it. Like, they can't even hold it in.
Right.
They want to blast each other that bad.
Right.
It's almost like, call me crazy, maybe they need a two-time Stanley Cup champion in net. I'm just saying.
You look, I know you're pulling for your boy Muzz. I get it. At this point,
they're called up too.
Yeah. Well, look, they've had a revolving door of goaltenders for years now, and that's been the one big question mark. That and maybe adding a couple of solid defensemen to their defensive core. But man, I wish he was the answer. I don't know if he is. Here's hoping. But I think they got bigger issues. I really do.
What do you think about this?
Brad Treleaven has got some serious questions to answer.
Hear me out for a second. You switch out the guy for a two-time cup champion, a guy who's been money when it comes to closing out games for the Penguins and throughout his playoff career. Maybe that settles the boys a bit. Oh, you know, we haven't been getting the save. And we got, you know, Ilya going in, giving up a couple softies. We got Wall going in there, not doing the job. We got Muzz. The guy's got two rings. The guy's the man. All right, but let's just breathe. Pressure's off. They're in Boston. Good work.
Swayman's been lights out. I give him a lot of credit, especially for a team that I don't think went more than two games back to back for each goaltender. Like they had a wonderful two goalie system running. It actually reminded me a lot of what NFL teams used to do in the early 2000s. They had a two running back system, you know, Thunder and Lightning, and it's been a great system. And the fact that they're sticking with Swayman, he's got the hot hand right now. I think that's understood. I don't think there's any animosity in Boston. I think you look at Boston, they look very calm under pressure.
It seemed like he got better once Domi ran into him. They tried to ruffle him up.
Oh, sure. Because you know you're getting under their skin. You know, he's probably laughing going, good, that's exactly what I want them to be doing. Worry about me instead of what's going on in your own locker room.
I mean, he is the worry, but you're trying to get the starting goalie off his game and the guy knows that he's playing lights out and that he is living rent-free in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And then the big rig is going to come after the guys. And I enjoyed watching it. I think Swayman has like a 930 save percentage, 4 goals and 95 shots in the first round, games 2 through 4 against Toronto. Guy's playing lights out.
Mm-hmm.
Guy's absolutely nasty. Also, his primary goalie coach, Manitoba legend, Alfie Michaud.
Mm.
Goalie coach now for the University of Maine and cool. NCAA Division I Black Bears. I also think he worked with Eddie Belfour for a period of time. Whole Manitoba circle right there.
There you go.
Yeah,
I like that. Whenever we can drag it back to Manitoba, I'm okay with that. Shout out to the Rangers who got that kryptonite off in the neck of winning the President's Trophy and not losing in the first round. So honestly, I think the Rangers have got a really good shot to go deep in the East.
And they dusted the Caps off.
Really quick. Ovechkin played like crap. Everyone agreed with that. Like he was just not good. He looked like an old man. He looked like a guy that had played 82 games and had enough.
You know what helped reverse that aging?
Mm.
The sponsor for today's show, Tiege Henley. Uncomplicated skincare for men.
Tiege Henley, he played with the Capitals in the 80s, scored 20 goals as a defenseman?
No.
Oh, no, it's skincare. Sorry, wrong Teach Henley. Guy I played minor hockey with. Never mind. Didn't know he did so well and went on to do skincare. Tell me about the skincare, Travis.
Teach Henley is uncomplicated skincare for men. They give you everything you need and nothing you don't. I'm using their level one system right here, and it's got all the basics you're going to need to level up your skincare game and help give you a boost of confidence. They have the daily face wash, as you see here, an AM moisturizer with sun protection, a PM moisturizer that you use before bed, and a twice a week exfoliating face scrub. And I've actually been using Teach for 3, going on almost 4 years now. And don't take my word for it or Dave's word for it. Take the over 7,000 five-star reviews they have online. People trust Teach Henley. It is truly uncomplicated skincare for men.
I'm actually 75 years old, and I've been using it, and look at me.
And right now, when you click the first link in the video description, you get access to the whole portfolio from their level one skincare game, only from Teach Henley. So again, if you're on the video version of the show, click that link, first link in the description. You get access to Teach Henley's skincare collection. If you're on the audio version on Apple or Spotify, pull over and save to do so. Click on the Apple Spotify notes, boom, same thing, click that link. You're going to access to Teach Henley's incredibly uncomplicated skincare for men.
And then you can get people clicking your face because it'll be nice and soft.
Nice and smooth. Thank you so much to Teach for sponsoring this episode of the show. Back to your regular scheduled podcast programming.
I admittedly had a lot of acne when I was a kid. All right? I had a lot of acne and I kept washing my face and I'd use the clear seal and I'd use all these things. And finally, I remember one day I was like, screw it, I'm not using it anymore. And I stopped washing my face with soap, just water. And my acne went away. I'm not saying this works for everybody. But my acne went away. And since then, I have not put anything on my face. Nothing. I wash it with water, maybe a little exfoliating with a face cloth or something. Other than that, nothing. When it comes to my body, I put soap underneath my armpits and in my twig and giggleberry areas. Other than that, soap doesn't go anywhere. Face cloth to kind of exfoliate. Other than that, I don't use a lot of soaps. So this is my first time using this Teague.
Teague Henley.
Not bad. Not bad. It's been reacting fairly well to my skin thus far. I'm pretty happy with it.
And your wife knows a thing or two about skincare products.
She does. And that's when she was like, listen, try it. We'll see how it goes. And I said, I trust your judgment. You know my face better than anyone. And she has been handling the application of that.
It's the real deal. Again, thank you so much to Teach Henley for joining the show and becoming a partner for the show. So we got some other things to note on the show. It's going to be a little bit shorter today. But we talked about this in December. We talked about this again in February. I have finally hunted down all of my FPHL jerseys. Thanks in part, solely in part, to the incredible fans of the league and the teams that I played for. So I was trying to get my Watertown jersey back. Shout out Cheryl Allen and her husband, Dwayne. They were season ticket holders for Watertown. So when you're a season ticket holder for most teams in the Fed, you get a free jersey with that because, I mean, you're spending X amount of dollars on tickets. Mm. Cheryl wanted my jersey. God bless her soul. And then when she saw the clip of us, you know, talking about, hey, I'm trying to get my jerseys back because, you know, the teams are too cheap to give you your own jersey when you leave. Mm-hmm. She's like, hey, why don't you just have the jersey? Like, I don't need it. I can get another one. Here you go. So Cheryl, thank you very much. And then in Mississippi, I tried asking before I left because, you know, the three biggest lies in pro hockey, checks in the mail, you're only going down for 2 weeks. The third, we can't stay on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Once you leave, like if you haven't paid, if you don't have what you need, you're never going to get it.
They don't even know your name after that. Who? Never heard of them.
You want to buy some ad space? Like, what are you looking to do? Like, we don't care. And so I tried to get my Mississippi jersey before I left because it was a one-off jersey, but I never ended up getting a response. So. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so they had a season-ending jersey auction, and one of the season ticket holders, Vanessa Clark, shout out to her. I want to make sure I get this right. Vanessa Clark, she bought my Mississippi Seawolves jersey, the red a la Pittsburgh Penguins St. Louis Blues jersey. I think she spent like $350, but she was bidding with somebody else, and they kept bidding each other up. And I'm thinking, no, like don't. Just somebody buy it at like the lowest marker, and then mm-hmm. I'll buy it off you. But anyway, they ended up costing me a couple extra bucks, but I ended up getting that jersey back.
Worth it.
And then this is the best one of them all. So my Motor City jersey. It was very impossible to track down. I mean, they had the jersey sale last year at the end of the season where my jersey went for a high dollar. And then I tried to reach out to the people that bought them. I never got a response back. Somebody sends me a video in January of this, you know, larger gentleman wearing my jersey in the rink. And I said, that's the guy. Can you please find out his contact information? Let's put somebody on the show so I can try to find this jersey. So he reaches out. Shout out Brian Chudoba. Chudoba. I'm sorry, Brian, in advance. And to your son, because they both watch the podcast. Brian reaches out, hey, I got the jersey. Hey, listen, if you hold on to that and you're willing to sell it to me at the end of the season, got him a little bit of merch. Thank you very much. And then, so Brian has the purple Motor City jersey. He didn't have the black one, but the purple one. And he sold me the jersey back. So that's coming in the mail this week. And then he was telling me an awesome story. He's actually a sponsor for the team. So all the boys eat at Chudoba Subs. So shout out Brian and Chudoba Subs. We didn't have that when I was there, but it reminded me of this awesome story. One of the guys on the team, his mom would feed us after every single one of the games, and she was awesome. She made these like triple thick brownies. She made pulled pork. Like she was a really good cook. And she also feed us on Wednesday nights. A couple of guys come over, we watch hockey. A couple of the guys, well, most of the guys would gamble, and then we'd just eat. And so they ended up gassing him probably like around December, and then the team had no more meals.
Weird.
Interesting. It's amazing that she left.
It kind of reminds me of minor hockey. Hey, we're looking for a manager. I'll do it if my kid makes the team. All right, you're the manager. Your kid's on the team.
Kid got cut. We don't have a manager anymore.
Exactly. Weird. We don't get fed after our kid gets cut. That's interesting.
But shout out to Mitzi Clouston. She had the best brownies in the world. I've tried reaching out about getting like a bucket of brownies. I haven't heard back. So Mitzi, please respond to my messages. I'd like to buy a pound of brownies. They're the best brownies in the world.
Well, listen, I know I was giving you a hard time about this whole quest that you were on to find your jerseys like the Holy Grail. And I take it back. And the reason why my wife and I were doing some spring cleaning and I found my old midget AAA jersey. And I was like, oh, I'm so happy I kept this. And I was like, Travis is right. There is something about having that game worn as opposed to just ordering one with your number on it and whatnot. And what did I tell you? Isn't that a great logo?
It's a great logo, but I think it's something about you had the jersey, you wore that at one point in time, you played games, whatever. And then it sits for a while. You don't see it. You have nothing to do with it. And then you pick it up one day and you're like, great memories. And then, you want to hang it, put it on a frame. That's the really cool part about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then to show your kids, because you have kids. I don't, obviously, not anytime soon. Lord willing. God, please don't curse me for that.
Bless you. You mean bless you.
Bless me at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Not ready yet, but to one day be able to show that off. Because also, I only have a certain amount of period left in my career playing. So when I'm done, I want to have all the jerseys hung up, put them on like a frame, like a man cave or like an office,
mm-hmm.
and have all these jerseys just like on this like conveyor belt.
Well, look at it this way. I mean, there are guys that in the league that have kids young. There are guys in the league that have kids late. I mean, who did I see the other day during warm-up? They were holding one of their kids up to the glass. And he's like, daddy, daddy, daddy. And he's pointing at the bench. I can't remember who it was. And I thought, he will not have a core memory by the time his dad's done playing. Like, his kid's that young, and I think he was somewhere in his mid-30s. The kid will not have a core memory of because, like, for instance, when I used to work with the Jets, I used to bring the kids down into the guts of the arena when I was going to get set up and whatnot. They don't remember that. We went to a Jets game this year with Rick. Ross the Boss.
Shout out Rick, Patreon
member. And they're like, this is our first Jets game. I'm like, no, you guys have actually used to go to lots of Jets games. You're just not old enough to remember it. So if you already have that idea of where your measuring stick is for your career and you want your kids to have a core memory of that, get on it.
I don't know if you remember this. I remember going to a Jets game. Not a Jets game. I went to a Manitoba Moose game at the old Winnipeg Arena. This is like early memories. And I remember my dad got me this like foot-long hot dog. It's like one of my earliest memories. I don't know if you remember the foot-long hot dogs.
Foot-long. Who ordered the foot long?
That and the ice cold beer here guy.
Right.
But yeah, those are awesome. Do you have a memory of like your first time skating? Like your dad teach you how to skate?
No.
How did you learn how to skate then?
Just got signed up for minor hockey.
Well, obviously your dad signed you up?
No.
You signed yourself up?
No, my mom.
She took out the check?
Mom was kind of the dad work shift work, 12-hour shift. So she was the one running us all over, me and my brother.
And what age are you?
I didn't start playing hockey until I was 8.
And then so 8 through 19?
Yeah.
20?
Yeah, 19. Well, I mean, beer league after that, but yeah.
And then you lost your eye?
Yeah.
The one-eyed Cyclops.
Lost vision. Didn't lose my eye.
I actually got a couple of messages about that. People will message me and say, it doesn't look like Dave's missing an eye. I'm like, no, he has the real eye. Yeah. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. Cosmetically, I got really lucky. I just can't see out of it. Did I not tell you the story about how I do this every time I go see a new eye doctor? They sit down before you go in and see the optometrist. They sit you down and they do a quick eye test and they put your chin up on that little machine. They're like, okay. And then you push your nose up and then it goes into your eye and they go, all right, read that screen ahead of you. And I go, yeah, nothing. And they go, oh, it's interesting. And they check the machine and they look at it and they check. All right, how about now? And I go, yeah, still nothing. And they look at the chart and they go, oh God, I'm sorry. Let's do the left eye.
Mr. Wheeler, you're blind.
Oh, I'm what? I can see when I came in here. It makes me giggle every time. Petty joke, but hilarious.
What's the longest you've ever strung one for before they realized?
Oh, they figure it out pretty quick.
After about two or three slides?
Yeah, after they look down at the chart and go, oh, you're blind in one eye.
It's a pretty calming environment, though. I like that. Like when you get your head in there, it's nice and cool. One or two?
Mm.
Two or one?
Right.
What's more visible, Mr. Wheeler?
Mm-hmm.
I find that so calming.
Yeah, it's very auditory in there for an optical clinic.
You like going to the dentist?
No. Well, who does?
I hate going to the dentist.
Yeah, no, nobody likes going to the dentist.
I was fleeced by this one dentist last year. Did I tell you about this?
No.
So I hadn't gone to the dentist in like 5 or 6 years. I promise we'll keep the dental talk to a minimum. I hadn't gone in like 5 or 6 years. I go down, the guy's like, oh, you got like 3 root canals and 10 cavities. I was like, no, I don't. He's like, yeah, you do. It's going to be about 6-7 grand. I'm like, I'm going to get a second opinion. No, you don't want to get a second opinion. We'll take care of it for you. Went to a new place. They're like, oh, 1 root canal, 2 cavities. I'm like, that's much better.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to that dentist.
Yeah, well, listen, if the federal government gets their way, everyone's going to be covered and you're not going to get a say.
I walked out. They're like, hey, you got to, like, how do you want to pay? I was like, isn't the government covering dental?
No.
No.
No, never
has. I was so rattled.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah. Do you care at all about the World Championships? Do you watch that at all?
No.
Really, eh?
I literally watched no hockey. Like, I don't want...
Do you follow it at all?
I follow Muzz, because he's my boy. I follow whatever you talk about in your morning show in podcast format, and I hear about the Jets. But outside of that, like, I don't remember the last time I watched an actual hockey game. I literally don't. I think it's something about... And I was talking about this with one of the guys at the Muay Thai studio the other day. I find there's a lot of dudes who, like, watch other men chase excellence, and then there's other guys who are chasing excellence. And, like, I don't find anything interesting about watching other guys chase excellence. Like, when I went to the Oilers game against the Blackhawks in January... I didn't find that interesting. Like, I don't want to watch other guys do the game. I want to do the game myself.
For me, it's more of a time constraint. And again, I've mentioned this before, but I don't have cable, so I don't have access to watching live sports. But I love watching the recaps. You give me the Jets game in 15 minutes. I mean, I know I'm going to miss the odd penalty. I'm going to miss the odd fight. I'm going to miss the odd Donnybrook here and there. But you give me the highlights of what I need to see. Perfect. Jays in 30. Awesome. Sportsnet for you down in the United States. I don't know if you have this on one of your cable networks or whatnot, but... Sportsnet here in Canada will offer you Jays in 30. So after the game's done, they condense the entire game down. You see every pitch, you see every catch, condense it down to 30 minutes. Brilliant. What a great way to follow baseball.
They do it for all the NHL games too?
Or just the Jays? Yeah, the NHL YouTube channel will upload highlights of every single game, probably within half an hour of them being over.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen Tom Stewart's interviews? It's called The Greatest Interview in the World.
No.
He has this series he's doing with Sportsnet. He's absolutely hilarious. And he brings players in and he gets them off to a hot start. He'll be like, do you believe in aliens? Yes. And then he'll ask them other weird questions and kind of like loop back around. And then he'll ask them about how the review or the interview was. It's a very interesting watch. I think Tom Stewart may be doing some of the most unique interviews on the planet as opposed to the normal, we're trying to get pucks deep, the penalty minutes.
Right.
You know, we worked out harder than they did stuff, or we outworked them, sorry, 20 pucks off the head.
How many passed Ridgen?
Six. I'm still shell shocked from Mississippi. Whoa, 60 shots.
What else you got?
That's about all I had for that. We had the Corey Schneider interview that we did yesterday.
Yeah, that's going to be airing, in the next month or so?
Yeah, that'll come up in August, part of our summer interview series. So, like, when I go down to Muskoka to interview Muzz or, you know, with Corey Schneider, hopefully we get Trevor Kidd, Eddie Belfour on. We haven't heard back from either of them yet.
Mm-hmm.
Knock on wood, we'll get them. But all of August is going to be our summer interview series. And, man, he really opened up my eyes that, you know, a lot of the stuff that, you know, we talked about at the Fed level, it's going on at the NHL level. You just see it in different formats and different sizes.
Yeah, not to give too much away, but you and I had a quick little pre-meeting before the interview, and I don't want to say you were nervous or anything, but you just want to make sure that your questions were on point and whatnot. I said, listen, Corey's one of the smartest guys I know. Like, and that's the honest to God's truth. He is a highly intelligent human being. You don't have to worry about this interview. Like, he will answer questions without you even answering or without you even asking them.
Well, how many times do you think he stuttered or said, maybe once?
Rarely.
Like, at all. His vernacular, too. Like, his vocabulary was outstanding.
Yeah, very, very smart man. That's one of the things that really attracted me to him when we first met. Like, I just really appreciated his intelligence, and we've been friends ever since.
Well, I think he might have been the smartest guy on the podcast, and I was the dumbest by far.
Even you and I combined didn't match up to where Corey Schneider was. Very smart guy.
You know, it's kind of intimidating to a degree to put yourself in a room where you are the dumbest person in the room, but you're going to grow the most. That's a guy I would love to pick his brain a lot more.
I used to play a lot of high-stakes poker, and the old saying is, if you sit down at a table and you can't spot the sucker within 5 minutes, you are the sucker.
Like, this experience that he's had in the professional game of hockey and life, and I mean, you know, wife, kids, business, getting into the NHL network and podcasting, I'd be curious to pick his brain, because a little spoiler for the interview, I didn't even touch my questions. I had about like a list of like 30 questions. We went for like an hour and five, hour and 10. I didn't touch them once.
Mm-hmm.
So
hopefully he's a great conversationalist. He's working with the NHL Network. He's got a podcast. Him and Brian Boyle have a podcast together. And yeah, he's still a dear friend. Happy to call him a friend. And it was a nice catch up. So look forward to that coming out in August.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit of business about podcasting. But first, quick word from our second sponsor for today, the team at Manscaped.com. The Beard Hedger, the Lawnmower 5, we've got to pick one up. They've been sponsoring the podcast for quite some time now. The Lawnmower 5 gets you doctored up for date night. Everything below the belt, everything you're going to need. In a 90-minute battery life, water-resistant package, and then the beard hedger. It's my favorite. I've been using that for almost 2 years now. I get my beard faded and tapered. You see this in the video version, how she's looking today? It's a lawnmower and a beard hedger combination. And right now, you go to the link in the video description at manscaped.com. Use the code BISKIT, BIZKIT. You're going to get yourself 20% off and free shipping only from the team at manscaped.com. And that, interestingly enough, it's kind of a part of the conversation we have with Corey, is like the inner workings of podcasting. I was talking with Cam Jansen a couple months ago. Like, we were having a little bit of FaceTime, like Cam Jansen, Cam and Strix podcast. And he was asking me, and I was asking him back, I was like, what makes a great hockey podcast? Right? Like, I have my opinions, you have yours, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what we think. The algorithms are going to pick what they want and push it out to people.
Mm-hmm.
So is that truly the best podcast on the planet? I don't know. Who knows? Like, what is the right answer? There is none. And like trying to figure out, okay, well, Chicklets goes in one category, Missing Curfew goes in another, Gammon Strix here, us slinging the biscuit, and then with Corey and Brian Boyle, Brian Boyle, sorry, you got me confused with Dan Boyle, and their one-time All-Star show, like, where do they slot in? It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, it all comes down to, like I said, you're a slave to the algorithm or whatever the podcast or the YouTube puts out. By the way, speaking of YouTube, want to send a really quick shout-out to a good friend of mine, Mr. Darcy Oak,
mm-hmm.
who is from Winnipeg, world-renowned illusionist. He was a finalist on Britain's Got Talent a handful of years ago, handsome devil, still tours the world to this day, still does incredible illusions. Dude teleported at IG Field in front of 35,000 people. He's mind-blowingly good. Dude was just on Mr. Beast. He was on the most recent, last week's episode of Mr. Beast that launched on Saturday, where he did the series of escapes through five different levels. Unbelievable. Videos got over 65 million views on it. So cool. I didn't even know. I turned on the YouTube kids like, hey, Dad, new Mr. Beast. I'm like, I'm coming. Sat down. I'm watching him going, that looks like a buddy of mine. My kid's like, hey, you don't know Mr. Beast. I'm like, I don't know. The guy that's competing. I think I know that guy. And sure enough, Darcy Oak.
He's like, whatever, boomer. You don't know Mr. Beast. No, Darcy Oak.
Easy on the boomer term. I am a Gen Xer.
Are you? No, you're a Gen Xer?
I am a Gen Xer.
What's the timeline for a Gen Xer?
65 to 79.
You are 78?
79.
Ooh.
Yeah, just snuck in there. Thank God.
When's your birthday again? April? No.
September.
September.
Yeah.
September 10th?
September 5th.
I'm a terrible friend.
It's funny because even like my brother considered a millennial. He was born in 84, but anywhere from like 75 to 85 is kind of like that transition period. So you get a little bit of both. But no, I identify with the generation of Gen X. Boomers were born pre-65, man. Give me a little bit of credit.
You identify?
Would you be a late millennial?
Yeah.
Or are you a Gen Z?
No, I'm a millennial.
Are you?
I used to make fun of millennials, and I found out I was one, and I was pissed. So I've been chirping these people forever. I'm one of them.
Well, you know, listen, you're in that transitional year. You could be a Gen Z if you want to be.
I think the cutoff's 99. I'm 96.
Okay.
Maybe it's 98. It's right around Limp Bizkit when Significant Other and Nookie came out.
What year were you born?
96.
I think you either just got in or you might, all depending on which website you go to, which defines the generations, you might actually be a Gen Z. Because keep in mind, they usually go within 15 to 17 years as a generation. And like the Gen Zs are 65 to 79. So that means 80 to 95, 97-ish would be your millennials. So you're right on the cusp there, my friend.
There's two avenues that I identify as in regards to my age. I'm sounding like a little bit liberal here, but so you know how like women have their like their epiphany years in like 28 through 30?
Mm-hmm.
Like goaltending is kind of the same because like your peak as a goaltender is usually like 27 through 30-ish.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of approaching that wall where I'm hitting my little bit of an epiphany stage.
Oh, you're in your prime, yeah.
This is my prime.
Yeah.
And then what do men have? Like a midlife crisis around like, you know, early 40s, mid 40s?
Yep.
Yeah? Okay. Yep. So we have two coming up. I don't know if one will be around for like if I'm still on YouTube, but.
I mean, I'm about to have a midlife crisis or you're about to have an epiphany?
Both.
Okay. Great.
Exciting times coming up here on the show.
Listen, I don't have time for a midlife crisis. I've got more than enough things going on in my life right now. Midlife crisis is the last thing I need to complicate anything.
You got family, wife, kids, how many podcasts? You're back on this podcast.
I got lots of things going on and the family's growing and yeah, dogs training and yeah, never a dull moment.
Well, I want to say thank you so much for listening to the show. This is Slingin' Biscuit. We do a new episode every single Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern in downtown Toronto, 10 a.m. downtown Winnipeg, 9 a.m. in Calgary in the foothills of Alberta, and a little bit of Saskatoon as well. 8 a.m. in the Pacific Northwest, downtown Vancouver. I'm Travis Ridgen. That's Dave Wheeler. Thanks for listening. We will see you next Sunday. Thanks for listening.